T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm.
Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
With Dusty Hera.
That kid probably needs to be punched in the face.
In an ideal world, I would have all 10 fingers on my left hand, so my right hand could just be a fist for punching.
An NFL veteran, Cam Cleland.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
No, I'm not a meat gazer.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
He's like the Lone Ranger, and I'm like Tonto. And it's not like there was the Lone Ranger and Tonto and Bonto.
The Fan.
Hour number 2, Dusty and Cam in the morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning, letting us be a part of yours. Coming up at the top of next hour, we've got our Pro Football Challenge, brought to you by our friends at Warren Allen, attorneys at law. We'll be joined at 8:30 by Darren Urban. He talks Arizona Cardinals football with us at 8:30, because guess what? Big matchup in the NFC West coming up this weekend right here on the Fan. Seahawks.
Big matchup,
Cardinals.
Huh?
Yeah.
Big.
I think every game in the NFC West is big. Every divisional matchup is, coin flip, toss it up. I don't know who's going to win either, any of them.
Really?
Yeah. See, Cardinals are 4-2 right now.
Yeah. All right.
You don't think it's a big matchup?
I don't think so, but I think it's a good matchup.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, that's a one-game separation between Seattle and Arizona for the division lead.
Yeah, it's too early to go super big, but
first divisional game for Seattle as well.
Yeah, big matchup. All right.
I mean, this is the best division in football,
All right. All right. Hey, to each their own. I'm all right. I think it's a good game. Big game.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Okay. All right. Odell Beckham has been banned from LSU for 2 years after giving out...
So that wasn't fake money.
$100 bills, y'all.
So that wasn't Monopoly money. It was handing out.
No.
That was real.
The NCAA, or the LSU Tigers, imposing a self-ban by the NCAA. 2 years, Odell Beckham will be banned. And they say that he gave $2,000 in cash, which was turned back over. Sure it was. Mm-hmm. They have also had a scholarship reduction of 8 over a period of time, a period of years. So really just giving themselves a slap on the wrist for this in what happened. But this also, what's tied into this is a bigger violation, which was one of their boosters last year was sent to prison for embezzling money from a church and then donating some money into the program. Obviously, LSU didn't know about that, but it was a booster, and that was kind of part of all this. And it is, it's one of those things where we talked about this yesterday. I'm under the belief, and I'm willing to subscribe to, there's probably nefarious things happening at every single one of the Power 5 schools as far as a violation is being committed in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
But I just don't think that a lot of them are big deals, including the Odell Beckham Jr. one, which was a level 3 violation of giving out $2,000 in cash to players.
This story is more about the fact that a university can try to self-impose to get ahead of somebody that's allegedly going to give them more disband, or they're going to try to take away something. It's kind of like taking away the Heisman Trophy from Reggie Bush at USC when the NC2A steps in and hands down all these hammer things. It's just minutia. It doesn't change the fact that LSU is going to do what they need to do moving forward to win. That's what the SEC is built on. That's why this whole thing is fractured by the NCAA and the falsities and the lies that we dream in. There are a lot of Division I programs that do it the right way. They are majority, excuse me, of teams that do it the right way. What you think is nefarious or what you think is up to the line, over the line, what is deemed okay and deemed not okay, think about it this way. A college kid gets hundreds of thousands of dollars in scholarship opportunities. Okay, leaves college with no student debt, which we have outlandish student debt in our country right now. It's beyond, people pay it for 20 years on interest rates. It's incredible, ridiculous what it costs to go to a private school. Okay, they get benefits upon benefits, free gear, free everything. Hayden Hurst was a former 17th round pick. Hayden Hurst now plays for the Baltimore Ravens, tight end. He was a 17th round pick for baseball, played 2 years in the minors and said, I'm done with this. I was on crap routine. I had to sneak food from cafeterias. I lived with six guys. We got nothing. He showed up and played for the Gamecocks, played tight end. I had free gear, free tutors, free food. They gave me Xboxes, Beats by Dr. Dre at a crappy Birmingham Bowl. I got rings. I had everything provided for me. I had nutritionists. I had tutors. It was like living lavishly. I was given a stipend to buy extras for gas, food, all these other things that Division I football players get. This is the difference of what it's like to live in the SEC and what it is to be part of a big-time program. That's what you have to do to compete. Not to mention $20,000 lockers with 43-inch flat screens in each locker, vibrating snap beds. This is... you built this, NC2A. Now you're going to try to say, let's self-impose bans.
And this is what this is what LSU is trying to do, is because the NCAA... wanted to roll these football violations. And by the way, the one of the guy embezzling money from a nonprofit, and he was also accused of giving, and the enforcement staff says that he of the NCAA arranged employment beginning in 2012 for parents of a player. Yeah. It was up to $180,000 for a no-show job, just basically paid a player 180 grand. Mm-hmm. Now that is a serious one. But they tried to roll that and then the Odell Beckham $2,000, which I think are completely different levels of seriousness there, into an even more serious one, which was the NCAA is like, no, we'll treat the LSU football and basketball programs together in the whole Will Wade, Nike, the wiretapping from the FBI, all that stuff, where it was 11 prospects and arranging payments for those 11 prospects in the basketball program. And this is where, like, to your point of, like, the NCAA's created this, where it's like, there's, you have these levels where it's like, you can't treat the Odell Beckham one, giving $100 to a few players here and there. Yeah. And you treat it the same way as a $180,000 payment to a player's family, or paying off 11 recruits and others around them by Will Wade in the basketball program.
This is what the NC2A has built. They've allowed this. College football has turned into this. And until there's a governing body that changes or reflects it, it's not going to change. And don't expect it to change. And I don't really care if it changes or not at this point. I mean, you've created this model. We can shout at the rooftops, it's not fair. Well, spend more money. Do what you need to do this. Remember, college football is the only sport where you can't go right to the NFL. You can't go right to the top. High school baseball, drafted, go right to the top. NBA, you can play 1 year, coke and a smile, gone, right out of here. You have to stay 3 years in college football. So they're going to take care of you, and they're going to do everything they can to keep you there. And then also, think of it this way. Have you ever had a recruit say, when I'm getting recruited, how many more recruit things? We talked about Oregon recruiting. Right? Yesterday?
Sure, yeah.
Talked about how good Mario Cristobal is recruiting.
Great job.
How many recruiting Twitter feeds do we need to see where I'm down to 8? Blessed to have 8 offers. Blessed to have 70 offers. Blessed to have 15 offers. I've never seen a recruit ever say exploited, hashtag exploited. Have you?
Wait, say that again?
Okay, think of it this way. Let me try to explain it as easy as it sounds. These guys know what they're getting into. Families know. The Tagovailoas sat in a pretty nice house on draft day. How did they get that? Everybody knows how this happens. Cheating or not, this is how you run your business now. That's how college football is allowed. The NC2 is allowed to run its business. This is what they've condoned. They've separated the leagues. They don't govern. They come in and say, okay, Odell, you can't put it on TV. Just make sure you do this off the camera. And now we have to do something.
Yeah.
college recruits have to be treated like this because you can't go to the NFL right away. So you have to give them stuff and treat them like kings because college athletes, when they're recruited, don't hashtag exploit. They don't hashtag, I'm exploited. Look at me. I'm not getting anything. They say, blessed. Blessed Michigan. Blessed BYU. Blessed Washington. Blessed Oregon. Blessed Texas. I'm blessed. And then all of a sudden, when you get to the, get into the university and you're there, now you're exploited. Please. The hypocrisies of this are, this is how college football is right now.
I think there is an element of once you get in there, you realize that your coaches are making $1 million. Your position coaches are making a couple hundred grand a year, and you're sitting there looking around going, wait, I'm the labor here.
Well, maybe you didn't, the product. Maybe that, you didn't listen to what there. Hayden Hurst and I had said about what Hayden Hurst had said.
No.
And here's a perfect example of a guy that was a pro as a college baseball player and said, enough of this. And now is like, college football guys get everything.
Right.
And then he's at South Carolina, a tight end. Random tight end who now plays in the league, South Carolina. He's not even a top end player. He said, this was incredible. The things that I was offered, I never paid for one set of clothes. I had 10 outfits for class, all Under Armour, shoes, all I wanted, food, all I wanted, $100,000, no debt in scholarships for my education, all the things that I needed. And then none of these guys feel exploited. Okay, they're trying to make up something. And so this is what we're going to see with LSU moving forward. We're going to see more of these programs. You're going to go after Clemson. You're going to go after Alabama. They're going to go after Florida. And then next thing, Ohio State will come out. And then they'll self-impose something.
And then this from the text line, breaking news, University of Washington is taking a cue from LSU and banning Cam due to the teriyaki incident back in the 90s.
Correct. Correct. I did pay for that. I did pay for my teriyaki.
You got the little extra teriyaki boost.
It was $6.99.
Yeah,
she just
buddy.
added an extra breast to
there
it.
There's a little, hey, maybe she just had the hots for you. You know,
no,
maybe
no.
She had no idea you were a Washington football player.
I remember the transaction, $6.99.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, would you like a little extra chicken? It's like, yeah, you extra chicken on there.
Right? Yeah,
I think college kid.
If you were to ask any one of those, the boosters, though, even the guy, well, probably not the guy in prison, probably wouldn't ask him if it was worth it. But it might be.
I just want to see these recruits when they tweet out their 18 offers and say, blessed to have this opportunity, can't wait, and mom and dad and all this other stuff. I want to see them the next year in tweet out, I'm exploited. Tweet
Why?
Out, exploited.
Wait.
Exploited.
How are those related?
They're related. What do you mean, how are they related? Is that the hypocrisies of what college football is that to get in there, we get you everything. We show you, we're transparent. This is what it takes to get here. And suddenly when you get there and all these guys, and then you see Odell Beckham handing you stuff and you see all this and you get the extras, you get all those other things. And it's like, and then you just mentioned my coaches are making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Who thinks that?
Well, I think a lot of the players that are in there who maybe aren't.
Exactly. Ungrateful. For really what it takes and what you get and how you're not being exploited.
But the guys that aren't coming from the means where it's like, you know, you're taking a look around, and Hunter Hurst, you said, played professional baseball before that. So, I mean, he had some cash in the bank before he even got there.
As a 17th round pick? No, you don't get any cash.
Well, I mean,
he
had a signing bonus, which is more than what kids are getting when they go to college, aren't they?
No.
No?
No.
You're not getting a signing bonus?
No, the stipends that you get now in college are ridiculous. Mm. Ridiculous. Laundry money, gross. How do these guys afford all these tattoos? Those are thousands of dollars of tattoos. I have no idea.
Well, Ohio State told us that they got them all for free.
Right. Right.
Well, no, they did. That's why Jim Tressel lost his job.
Okay. Yeah. This is the NCAA has now taken the level of there's so much college football television money, they don't know where to spend it. They don't know where to, the big time programs. They don't know where to do with it. So we got to give it to coaches. And
that's why the players.
We got to give it to do that. What do we got to do? But they are giving it to them, just not in. Well, what they do is they handed it to Odell Beckham and said, "Would you please hand this out in some hundreds?"
A moment of honesty from an NFL vet getting benched when things aren't going right. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, it may not be out of sight for Ryan Fitzpatrick down in Miami, The Miami Dolphins they're a surprise in the NFL right now. I mean,
they're good.
3-3. They've got some pelts on the wall. They've got.
I like them.
They're outscoring teams. They're a good team, huh?
I like their coach. I like the way they play football. They're fun. They're exciting. They're young. They're youthful. And they're making a change.
Well, and he gave some open and honest assessment of what happened with him, I believe, in when he was talking about getting benched. And for Tua Tagovailoa, he said he was heartbroken because of it.
He did. So do you want to read what he said specifically?
Well, I have quotes here.
Give it to us.
All right. Here is Ryan Fitzpatrick on getting benched.
I was shocked by it. You know, it definitely caught me off guard. And, you know, it was a hard thing for me to hear yesterday, just kind of digesting the news. My heart just hurt all day. Like it was heartbreaking for me, you know, and Flo kind of said what he said and said what he said to you guys as well. And that's the decision and the direction that the organization is going in. And obviously, you know, we've talked in the past, me and you guys, about, you know, how I'm the placeholder and this eventually was going to happen no matter. It was just a matter of kind of when, not if. And it broke my heart yesterday. And, you know, it's a tough thing for me to hear and to now have to deal with. But, you know, I'm going to do my best with it.
That's honesty from a guy who's 37 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I can admire that guy. He's a straight up great dude. There's nothing else he can really say. Now, do I think there's a little bit of facetiousness in there? Nativity? Maybe. And I love the competitor in it. I absolutely do. I love that Fitzy's not okay with that because he's a competitor. And look, he's having fun. I remember, you see his interview after when they won? He's got his Miami shirt, his chest hair's out, the beard's growing. He's having fun. He's like, look, I get paid to have fun. And he was enjoying it. But, you know, come on. I mean, at some point in time, you look at it and you go, all right, so I'm gonna lose my job eventually. I know this time. He even said it. He says he knows it's going to happen. No one ever gets fired when they think they should get fired, right? Or no one ever gets benched or laid off. It's like, oh, I knew I was going to get laid off today. It's always a shock. There's never a time when you get demoted and you're like, wow, you know, hey, I knew I was going to get demoted in about 8 to 10 weeks, but I can't believe it happened today. That's part of the league, performance-based business, and they want to get two of some reps, and maybe they want to make a run at the division, or maybe they want to see what they have because they already know what they have with Fitz. See what they have with Tua.
Well, I think that might be it, though, with his frustration and the surprise in it, is that you expect it to happen, and he's been benched several times, but this one was different because Ryan Fitzpatrick, when he's been benched in the past, he has imploded. He's imploded in the past, and it's been ugly, and it has been bad when it goes wrong for him. But for this, his teams have scored 38 unanswered points in the last, game and a half? And he's sitting there and going, what else do I need to do, right? We score the final four. We blow the Niners out of the water. We score the final 14 points of that game. I skunk the Jets 24-0. We've scored 38 unanswered. I'm not imploding like I have before, and I still get benched. I can understand where that hurts him. And I applaud his honesty because we don't get a lot of honesty from players when things like this happen. And I think what made it sting for him more was that, you know, a lot of his teammates in him found out it leaked out before Brian Flores even talked to him about it.
So let's take a quick little look into what it would be like to be in the coach's meeting room if you're watching film the last couple weeks. Okay, you played the 49ers, didn't have much pass rush, and you demolished them. Up front, you play the Jets. Your next stretch of games, Rams, Cardinals, Chargers, Broncos, Jets, Bengals. Oh, boy. Okay, Chargers, Broncos, Jets, Bengals, those teams scare you? The Cardinals really scare you? The Rams. But where are the Rams? So if you're in the meeting room with the coaches are sitting around watching film. Let me tell you what they're looking at, and they're looking at film. This is when they see Fitz, good throw. Tua can make that throw. Oh, Tua could get out of that situation a little bit more, extend the play a little more. Oh, Tua can make that throw too. Let's set up this. All right, good. We got Miles Gaskin, get him on the screen. Tua can make that throw also. He could probably extend the play here. Fitz did a good job there, but we can get something more out of Tua. I personally want to give the credit where credit is due. Fitz did a good job, but let's also look at the coaching staff, the offensive staff, and think about the organization is that they're in those meetings, they're in those film studies as coaches, players aren't in there, and they're making a business decision of what's best for the team. I got to support that because not very many teams that are having on a good run can make a business change decision. Usually they stick with the homer mentality of, well, let's ride it till it bucks. Mm-hmm. They're making the right decision. I know Ryan doesn't want to sit with it, but he's not the future.
Yeah.
And if they're in those meeting rooms and they feel like Tua gives them a better chance in those situations, got to support it.
Well, this
gotta
is...
got to think it's intelligent.
That is 100%. I agree that we all knew it was going to be Tua time at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
At some point, it was going to be Tua time. But I'm just saying, if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick, of course he's going to be... he's sure. going to be heartbroken because we've seen Fitz magic runs out how many years in a row, and you're just like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And I thought another moment of honesty was he sees the light at the end of the tunnel for his career.
There's a lot of stuff going through my mind yesterday, just from a personal standpoint, not necessarily, you know, with the team, but, you know, is this it? Like, was that, you know, my last game as an NFL player in terms of, you know, being the starter and going out there and playing? You know, and you just kind of go through all those different scenarios.
Like the closure of it all. He's 37.
Yeah, it happens to everybody. Like, he's had a great run. Can you imagine being able to be part of something for 17 years? And he enjoyed, I feel pretty comfortable that this guy's not going to be out of the league when I say he'll be a quarterback's coach or he'll be a great coach because he's so intelligent. He understands, look, he's an Ivy League guy, but he's beyond intelligent. He's been a great tutor to some understudies. He's going to be in this league forever. Yeah. And maybe that transition does happen for guys like backup quarterbacks make great head coaches. See Philly, Indy, Jim Harbaugh. I can just start going through the line of great backup. I mean, Jason Garrett. These types of coaches, okay, make great leaders for men because they've been in the backs. They're not the front runners. You know, it's like they're not the stars all the time. They're the guys that know how to work hard and get everybody, make everybody feel important. But also, too, is that if their coaches feel good enough for Tua, that means that the locker room is supporting it. It means that they like Tua a lot and the way he is. And I've heard nothing but great things about the way Tua is in the huddle and what he is in the locker room. He's just a spectacular young man, and it's his time.
Yep, and so is Fitz. And I hope that Fitz magic it works out.
He's one play away from playing again, too. So, I mean,
and the guy who's never made it through a full season.
Correct. He might be right back in there in a week.
Yeah. It was pretty awkward, though, for him yesterday. He mentioned that I had to sit in a room with the guy who fired me and the guy who took my job for 4 hours.
Fired him?
Yeah. Because it's like, well, you know, it's like you get fired and then it's like,
demoted.
Oh, by the way, you're going to have to sit in here for 4 hours. And
sorry, Ryan, you're going to have to collect your $3.5 million and sit in the beach.
Yeah, but it can be hard at times at the beginning.
It's a little facetious. I'm a little facetious, but that's not a bad thing to lean back on. Beautiful wife, bunch of great kids in Miami, getting paid to help too. That's not a bad way. Not a bad little retirement plan. Then.
Maybe it's like he's sitting there
not
going,
not a bad one.
Maybe he's going, oh boy, now I got to spend more time at home because now
eating
I'm the backup
cake.
Quarterback. My wife is sitting there going, you're not the starter anymore, Ryan.
Yeah.
You can't be spending all this time watching the film.
They were boyfriend and girlfriend back when in St. Louis. She was great. Yeah, they got a great man. She's a really cool gal. So I don't think she's doing that.
Well, maybe. Yeah. You never know. Maybe this is you know how a herd of children changes things. How many he has like a Philip Rivers herd, doesn't he?
Seven.
Yeah. Well, good for him.
Remember he said he gained all that weight because there's too many
birthdays.
Too many birthdays. All he's eating birthday cake.
Yeah, cake every month. Yeah. All right. Browns are 4-2, but it feels like 0-6. Tuning out that noise, easier said than done. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, Baker Mayfield is saying that he's tuning out the outside noise. Says they're 4-2 right now. Feels like they're 0-6 with the way that everybody's talking about them. Wait. I have a question about that. How are you tuning out the outside noise?
Because you're not.
Yet you know that it feels like you're 0-6 when you're 4-2.
Do you remember what the Bears had to do for Mitch Trubisky? Do you guys remember?
They turned off all the TVs.
They removed the TVs from the Bears facility.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't stop watching and listening to the noise.
Yeah, that's weird. And the Browns aren't bad.
No, they're 4-2. But what did Baker say?
Well, they've got their... But here's the thing is that they're not bad, but they get their butts kicked by good teams.
Yeah, that's a quarterback problem.
I mean, you've been outscored, 76-13 against two good teams? 38-6, 38-7. Mm-hmm. Boom. That is a brutal butt-kicking by the better teams that you
have.
Yeah,
and that's a quarterback issue. It's statistically proven what's going on with him right now. You could see it, is that when they put the ball in his hands and they can't run the football, you can't ask him to win a game because he can't do it. He can't do it right now. He hasn't proven it yet because he doesn't have the dynamic ability. He shrinks under the pressure, and that's part of the MO of what Baker Mayfield's doing. It's not that he's a bad guy or, well, maybe it's just up to interpretation. He's just not winning those games against good teams and making those big throws or making those big-time plays because the talent level is just not there.
Yeah, he is, for him or for the whole team, though, too, because if you look at it, there isn't that kind of on their offensive line? Like, I mean, are we asking too much of Baker Mayfield? Is the expectation too high of what Baker Mayfield is?
Because, I think so, if you're number one overall pick, Dusty, yeah.
But why can't you be a number one overall draft pick and just be a solid player?
Okay.
Right?
And just
But once we realize what he is and you go, hey, guess what, Browns? You probably shouldn't have taken him number one overall like you were warned. Probably shouldn't take Baker Mayfield number one overall. And they did it anyways. And this is what you get, which is if he was drafted, 11th, we'd look at him completely differently.
No. I know I wouldn't. Maybe you would. But this is how I look at all first round picks. Every first round pick is a Hall of Famer. Ask any general manager.
Oh.
That's how you gauge a first-round pick. That's what a first-round pick is spent. Now, of course, they're not all going to turn into Hall of Famers. Let's now take the reality of what the number one overall pick means.
Mm-hmm.
The number one overall pick means 15 years, Hall of Fame,
yeah,
first team, all superstar. That's what the number one pick means. So,
right.
So when you make that, I'm not trying to sit there and if that thought process really creeps in to somebody that's a general manager says, well, we took him overall. Shouldn't that be okay that he's average? No.
This isn't the same general manager that picked him, and it's ridiculous. I think our expectations of people, like, we know what he is. Don't we know what he is?
We knew what he is in college.
So we're expecting him all of a sudden to be something completely different. And it's all right, guys, you're going to beat your head against the wall expecting anything different than what Baker Mayfield actually is as a quarterback in the NFL. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, the general manager that drafted him, of course he's got to think like that because his ass is on the line for drafting him. But how can we not see, like, we see Baker Mayfield right now and we go, look, the dude is an okay quarterback. He's never going to be a Andrew Luck or a Cam Newton or, a Peyton Manning or whatever. That ain't going to happen.
He's not even going to be a Blake Bortles. That's exactly what, what his ceiling is? Okay.
Working construction and ripping cigs.
Working construction, ripping cigs.
That's it.
No.
I mean, I'd rather have Gardner Minshew.
Why would you? Just because he's more entertaining.
He's better quarterback. He's a gamer.
I'm looking at this and the Baker Mayfield, we're beating our head against a wall if you're expecting something different from him. And they ever going to move on from,
of course,
or when
are
they going to move? When are they going to move on?
Yeah, they've already put it in place. Is they're not going to pick up his fifth year option, which you're supposed to do when you head at the end of the fourth. And so that's obviously going to be set up pretty easily. You can see the way they build their offense is that anytime they ask, they keep him under 25 throws, they win a game and they play the average teams. Anytime they stop the run and they ask him to have to throw above 25, they lose. So that's Stefanski telling you, we can't win when we have to give the ball to Baker. He can't do that.
So we're not thinking that he's going to continue to grow a little bit more and a little bit more.
I think that if certainly none of us
has had a little bit development.
Certainly none of us are in that. But use your eyes. Just use anybody and coach to discredit what coaches are doing is that we as fans on the outside can see it. What do you think the meeting room? And let me just tell you what the meeting room's like. It's exactly like what HBO Hard Knocks looks like. They're sitting around there and they're going, "No, he couldn't make that throw. Look at this pick. Look at this. Okay, guys, we got to simplify this game plan so we don't have to give him the ball." As they're pointing out, they're saying, "Nope, didn't make that throw. Okay, so what do we got to do? How do we shorten this game so we can be in the games? Oh, crap, we just played Pittsburgh. They have the best pass rush. TJ Watt is going to murder him, and he did. Oh, God, look at the film." That's what they're doing. These coaches aren't dumb. They are so smart. They know when they have it or not. They know it within the first week of watching him on film.
Would you rather have him or Jameis?
Oh, I'd have Jameis Winston all day long. All day long. Jameis Winston's got talent. He just needs to be more decisive with the football and be around a great coach. He hasn't had that kind of experience yet. Now, I hope he gets LASIK because
Bruce
that
Arians.
Might help him. Bruce Arians doesn't. I'm not out. Great offensive coach. That's fine. If you want to consider Bruce Arians an elite coach, that's okay. That's fine. I don't consider it a huge elite coach. I'm looking for him to be around a really good, simple system. Is that
how many of those guys are around?
Simple systems?
Well, like I'm Sean talking Payton, like if you know if
he's
you're
around a great coach
yeah,
right
like
now.
Like if you're in
he's
Cleveland.
On he's in an unbelievable system.
I was talking about if you're in Cleveland, would Jameis Winston be better in Cleveland than Baker Mayfield? Because Jameis had a good coordinator.
Yeah.
And he had unbelievable weapons last year,
right.
Even though Gronk is the only guy that wasn't there, mm-hmm. right? Would you rather, like, it's kind of like they had the same thing, both number one picks, the Bucks moved on from him afterwards. And
it's just a simple choice. Yeah. I like his upside better. I like his arm talent. I like his leadership a little bit better. And I think Jameis humbled himself and said, "I'm going to go to New Orleans and I'm going to learn and I want to get better." I always hear nothing but defense out of Baker. It's always finger pointing. It's always whining. It's always I'm not listening. Yeah. It's very immature. I think Jameis Winston has matured a little bit. I don't think Baker's ever going to change. I think he's immature. He's short. He's got a decent arm, but he's not elusive. He's no Kyler Murray. He's no Russell Wilson. And if you're going to be short in this league, you better be Drew Brees. Well, he doesn't have Drew Brees' accuracy.
Mm-mm.
Well, you better be a leader. Well, he doesn't lead like Drew Brees. You want to be a short quarterback in this league? You can't. You got to be special. There's nothing special.
What does wife do on social
media?
Well,
she defended a comment that was back and forth.
Baker it is.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's wife went back and forth on a comment that was kind of mentioning how he's been the best quarterback here. He's had three coaches and three coordinators in 3 years. He said, let's give him a little bit of break. And then she fired back saying, people are too hard on Baker. No, people are too hard on him. You need to let this kid do. He now finally has a running game. He has good defense. Let him eat.
Mm. Let him eat?
So if we get to the point where your wife is having to comment on publicly, is that a good or bad thing if you're a quarterback?
I don't think it's
I've only
good.
Seen it happen one time, and that was with Kurt Warner and it and Brenda, which I think Brenda's cool. She's awesome. She's a Marine. And Kurt's a great guy. But it didn't work out very well because it caused a huge rift between Mike Martz and Kurt Warner. Huge rift.
Really?
Yeah, because she criticized the whole organization on radio. And that's, first of all, I think it's really shallow for a radio to interview a wife, but that's to here nor there.
Why is it shallow for them to interview the wife? If she's gonna talk, right? And she's gonna go ahead and do it.
I think it's a bad look. But that's what shock jocks or somebody shocky would want to do. I mean, I would never do that, but that's to here and over there. It didn't work out for Kurt. It caused a huge problem in the locker room. Mark Bulger took over. Kurt was fired, and then the rest is history.
Wow. And Ciara's gone to bat for us a few times on the social media, you know, and it's like, it's the way that you do it. And I think it's the way that the guy's also handling it too, right? I mean, of course, every wife is going to have her husband's back, but... When you have Baker coming out and he's on the defensive about it, you know, and I think of like with Kurt Warner wasn't vocal about it publicly, was he?
No, not at all.
Russell Wilson isn't vocal about it publicly, you know, and I think there comes that tipping point where enough is enough. But I think Baker may be in a situation where it's like, he's speaking out, and then his wife is as well.
Doesn't look good.
He's catching a lot of heat for that.
What do you think those dinner conversations are like?
They're probably pretty upset about what's being said about him on social media.
Probably. Yeah.
A bummer.
Yeah. Welcome to being the first pick overall. That's called expectations, and you're not living up to your expectations. Dude, you asked for it. You got picked. You moxied around. You do all these progressive commercials. You got more commercials and touchdown passes right now, dude.
Does he really?
Take that for data.
World Series game one ratings on all-time low. Dustin Kam on the Fan.
And I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
All right, our number two coming to a close. We'll have the Pro Football Challenge coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Brought to you by our friends at Warren Allen, attorneys at law. The Antonio Brown saga continuing. Is he a good idea in Seattle? 503-250-1080. And then Darren Urban, who covers the Arizona Cardinals, will join us at 8:30 for a preview of Cards Hawks coming up right here on The Fan on Sunday. Catch the FIVA. But World Series Game 1, their ratings were an all-time low on the televisions. The Dodgers taking the 1-0 series lead on Tuesday drew 9.195 million viewers. That makes it the least watched World Series opener ever.
Ever.
But the least watched World Series game of all time.
Incredible.
Even like a closeout sweep game has gotten more.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is interesting because it just continues the trend of all of our sports ratings have been down since the pandemic started. Every single league has pretty much seen this.
Yep.
Even the NFL.
Yeah.
NFL, college football, NBA, horse racing, the golf majors, NASCAR. Mm-hmm. But NASCAR started hot and then it went downhill. What's going on with watching?
What do you think?
Well, I don't think that it has to do with, whether it's protests or anything like that.
I think there's a little bit of that.
Why would horse racing be affected by that? Why would golf majors be affected by that? Why would, every single sport be affected by that? Except for the WNBA, which was very vocal in it. Their ratings went up 45%, I believe it was.
I think there's a little bit of that in there, but that's, I think you lumped them all into a hole.
There's a lot of folks that want to say that's the reason why.
Yeah.
I don't think that's it.
Put some of it.
I think a lot of people are, I think a lot of people have cut back on their television viewing and the way that they are viewing television. So I think we have a lot more streaming applications that are being used now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that we have cord cutting, obviously, during the pandemic when people were losing their jobs was a big one. And so when you're not just watching, the World Series is on Fox. That's on network television.
Right.
But when you cut the cord, you're not watching SportsCenter or, whatever the Stephen A. Smith or the Skip Bayless show is on FS1. Mm-hmm. And you don't have those on, so you don't have that daily intake of it all. I think that has changed a lot. And I think that also, I think a lot of people are doing things that are outdoors more, too.
So the pandemic probably made some choices for people as it was shut down. Mm. I think that you probably hit the nail on the head there. Is that during the pandemic when sports wasn't around, everyone started to find other things to do in life. Maybe they changed their ideas. Maybe they said, instead of sitting around and doing this or watching that, we could go spend more time with family, or we can have outdoor activities. We can try to find other options to entertain ourselves, because that's really what it is. It's entertainment, and television is you have to sit down. It's something that's appointment watching. Same thing with all types of media. So I think there's I think there is something to do with the kind of, with it being an election year, with the controversial
that's a big one
election
too.
Year with what we're dealing with, the battle between red versus blue. I think that the BLM movement, I think the Antifas, I think that the right and the lefts, the heavy right, I don't know the other heavy, the KKK groups that have jumped on one side, the Proud Boys are on the other, whatever this is, all this other stuff, the protests, all these things maybe there's just a faction of people that out there that don't want any part of it. For me, I can watch a sporting event and just watch it for sports. Like that stuff, it's there, But I love the competition. How your brain watches it or what you do is because I've been watching sports for years. I can actually tune into a game. If the sound's on or the sound's off, I just appreciate the athletes performing at the highest level. I always am fascinated by how these, like LeBron James or watching these guys play baseball or looking at Cody Bellinger turn a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and hit it. It's 400 feet. I mean, that's just incredible to me. So I can separate that. But maybe there are a faction of you out there that don't want to see that, that can't do it.
I think that one of the things is I think the election year is a big one. I do think that there's a small facet of people that were turned off by, you know, whether it was the social movements that were made across sports and the social statements that were made. I also think that two big things that aren't mentioned very much is there's a sports overload, right? So if I am a casual basketball fan or am I a casual baseball fan and football is being played, I think a lot of Americans say, all right, I'm going to pick one or the other. And you have that. Whereas we're also trained for our seasons to go certain months of the year. And when they are all happening at once, we don't have that training and you only have a certain amount of time. So you will sit there and say, I'm going to give up this game so I can watch this. And I think that is leading to a lot of people just not watching in mass to, you know, every casual sports fan will turn on the World Series. Sure. But if you're watching, you know, the NBA Finals as well, you know, just the week before, you got to get those credits in the bank.
Plenty of different thoughts coming in on this on the text line. One says that let's see here, radio. I'm listening to more games on the radio as a background option than sitting down in front of the television.
Mm-hmm. Love you.
One person says that ratings are down, I believe, because of the political ads. Another says
political ads is a big one too.
Another says that every election year sports ratings are down, and so everyone wants to question what's wrong. And another says that the pandemic and election has dampened my enthusiasm for sports. Need more mindfulness and time with my family to get through it.
You see, what do you guys think? That's a good point. I agree with that. The time we could spend with our families is so much more valuable than sitting in front of a television, barking at something, getting upset. What do you guys think of this? History's always been important when in regards of what's been our priorities in our country, from what I know. I don't study that, but I understand soccer is the world's game, so I'm not going to use that as an example. Baseball was king for years. I would probably say baseball was king for, if we're talking about in this past century, 60, 70 years. It was number one. Maybe 80 years. From the turn of the century all the way to the mid. And then all of a sudden, Michael Jordan came to the league and basketball had its run where it was number one and it wasn't close. Baseball was two. NFL was a distant third, kind of on the outside a little bit. And all of a sudden, we've shifted now is that football's king. It's number one show on every network. Is it just that this is football's time and everything else is kind of second and that the options we have are overwhelming? And so you just kind of like, I don't have the kind of, who can invest in a baseball game that's 4 hours? That was a good game last night, but good God, it was 3 hours and 48 minutes.
No, we went for a walk as a family and we missed half an inning.
I'm like,
we didn't miss much at all.
I didn't watch the first four innings. I was working out. I'm like, okay, I came in. What did I miss? Oh, it's 2-0. All right. Mm. Okay.
There's a lot of that there. And I think that it all plays a role. I think that the election, the sports overload, the fact that we're trained for certain sports and all of them happening at once, it's exciting to have all these sports happening at one time, but it does lead to less viewership. And I think that that can be something that you point to. It's not just it's easy as painting it with a broad stroke brush. Like, I don't know, like guys like Clay Travis like to say, oh, it's all because of social justice. Take that NBA. Well, that's wrong. I mean, that's just
there's
incorrect
parts to it. It's
factually incorrect. I mean, it you can't just sit there and peg it on one thing.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that.
You can't do that at all. And that's what some people are trying to do with this. And it's just not right.
And then this one here says, it's also about a saturation of multiple options and unknown or changing schedules. There have been a lot of midday games that not everyone's able to watch. That obviously wasn't the case with the World Series
or the finals
last night.
You didn't like a 2 o'clock Tuesday game?
I love
But
those,
I mean, we were having LCS Monday games at 2 in the afternoon. We had a Monday night football or Monday afternoon football game this week.
Don't you guys remember when college football playoff, remember it was during the Christmas break and they put all their games in the middle of the day and it was during a work day and we're all like, what are they doing? Was that 2016 they did it or 2000?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was the very first year. It was the middle of the damn day. Like, what are you guys doing?
The very first year?
Yeah.
That would have been
2014.
That would have been 14.
Yeah.
The year that Oregon played at night.
Well, Oregon did, but they had other games during that time that was part of the playoffs.
Oh, the New Year's Six. The other New Year's Six bowls. Okay. Yeah, I do remember. I vaguely remember that being a big issue. And then they moved
about
to Saturday.
TV time. They're trying to squeeze everything. And it's like Pac-12 after dark, Pac-12 at 9 a.m., Pac-12 breakfast,
Pac-12-a-palooza.
Whatever. Yeah. Friday night games.
Coming up next hour, we'll talk to Darren Urban. He covers the Arizona Cardinals. Got a big tilt with the Seahawks this Sunday right here on The Fan. Antonio Brown to the Seahawks. Good idea. 503-250-1080. We want to hear from you. But coming up next, our Pro Football Challenge brought to you by our friends at Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law. Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.